Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back in making his sixth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former head coach Dan Reeves. Let me remind you about Coach's background. He was born in Rome, Georgia, grew up in Americus, Georgia, where he played football, baseball, and basketball in high school. He played his college ball at the University of South Carolina, where he was a three-year letterman, setting several records as a quarterback. And he also played right field on their baseball team. When he left South Carolina, he was their all-time leading passer. He was inducted into the Gamecocks Hall of Fame back in 1977 and the South Carolina Athletic Hall of Fame back in 2006. Somehow, he was an undrafted free agent signed by the Dallas Cowboys in 1965. But he also got offers from the San Diego Chargers of the AFL and my hometown Pittsburgh Pirates to play baseball for them. Opted to play running back for the Cowboys from 1965 to 1972. And over the course of his playing career, he rushed for nearly 2,000 yards and he scored 25 touchdowns, added nearly 1,700 more receiving yards and 17 receiving touchdowns. He was a part of the Cowboys' 1971 Super Bowl championship team, went on to become one of the greatest head coaches in the history of the NFL with the Broncos, Giants, and Falcons. Teams to a 190, 165-2 record and 14 Super Bowl appearances. He's been a wonderful friend of the show, and we're very honored that he is back with us again tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Coach, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome, Coach.
Man, great day. You went way back there. I couldn't even remember all that stuff. That's a long time ago. That goes by quick, but that's a long time ago. No, it's great to be on with y'all. I always enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate you, Coach. And I want to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on your alma mater, South Carolina. I think people thought that, you know, this could be a team that could contend this year in the SEC East Division. Started out the season ranked in the top 25, but some unfortunate losses, three now, and they're still looking at Florida and Clemson coming up on the schedule. How do you feel about where their program is at and the direction they're going in?
Well, I think it's headed in the right direction. I think they're doing a good job. The key to everything is recruiting, in college football, and certainly, being in South Carolina and competing against Clemson, the way Dabo has been doing there at Clemson is very difficult to overcome that. But, I think they're headed in the right direction, and I'm sure they're disappointed as we are, or I am, they didn't, kind of turn a little bit better than they have so far.
And Coach, staying in the SEC, you got Georgia got beat pretty soundly by LSU on Saturday. It was their first really true test of the season. They've got Florida coming up in a couple of weeks. How do you feel about the Bulldogs? Is this a team that can rebound and, get back on track and get themselves back in a playoff picture? Or is this really a team that benefited from a weaker early schedule and they're kind of young, got a lot of freshmen and sophomores? Is this a team that might be a year or two away?
No, I really do think that, they still got everything in front of them. And I think, that was a wake-up call for a lot of them. You could talk about how we got to be better and we got to work harder and we got to do things. But until you have that happen to you, and certainly was embarrassing, the way they lost to LSU. And, that's not the first team that's gone in there and got beat at LSU, that's for sure. But, I think they got everything in front of them. And sometimes like this is a wake-up call. And, I think Kirby Smart does a great job of getting these guys back on track.
Bob, questions for Coach?
It's always a pleasure to speak with you, Coach, and thanks for coming on again. And Chris had mentioned you had played baseball back in the day, and I was just wondering, Coach, back in the 60s and when you went on to coach and play, et cetera, as far as you, did you follow baseball also at the time, and did you cross paths with a lot of baseball players, both down in Texas and in Atlanta?
Well, I did. I was very fortunate, in Dallas, played an awful lot of golf with Mickey Mantle, and, that was somebody that I kind of idolized, growing up and, playing baseball. And, so I was very fortunate to be friends with Mickey, and, was fortunate to be around, a lot of good athletes, period, in Dallas, when I was there.
And Coach, speaking of good athletes, when you came in the league, the quarterback for those Cowboys was Don Meredith, and I think many people probably remember him, obviously, from Monday Night Football, and maybe don't really remember him as a quarterback. I go back just enough to probably just remember some of his career, but you look back on him, and obviously, as you know, the guy was a talented player and had a lot of guts. Talk more about him as a player and a teammate.
Oh, there's no question. He was a great, great teammate. You know, Don never got the credit. You know, if you look back now, and history kind of tells you it's very difficult to come in to where you're the quarterback of an expansion team. And that's what Don was. And, you know, he overcame a lot of the struggles that they had early. And, you know, I think Don could have still played. But, you know, at the time he retired, he was a great leader. Was very talented. He was probably one of the first quarterbacks that I remember or played with that, you know, could hurt you with his feet as well as his arm. And he had a great time. I mean, you know, as funny as he was on Monday Night Football, that's exactly the way he was, you know, at practice. When it was time to be serious, he could be serious. But, you know, he loved to have fun at everything he was doing.
Coach, I want to get your thoughts on the Falcons. They're another team that people like us had in the mix to be in the Super Bowl, perhaps becoming the first team to have a home game at the Super Bowl, but struggling a little bit, particularly on defense. They've given up the most points in the league. Talk about the Falcons and their opportunity to right the ship the rest of the way.
Well, you never like to talk about injuries, but I think if you look around the league, you know, and some of the teams that are struggling, that's one of the things that, you know, coaches don't like to talk about it, and fans don't like to talk about it. But, you know, they lost, you know, two real key players in their safeties on defense. It is very difficult to replace, you know, that position because they kind of are the ones that control the secondary and also, you know, have to be, you know, great tacklers coming up to stop the running game. And, you know, so they just been, you know, had a lot of injuries on defense. Their offense is, you know, done well, but, you know, defense is a thing that they've struggled with. And, you know, they've lost some close games and, you know, it didn't take just a little bit to separate teams now. And when you lose some key people like they have, I still think they, you know, they've got a chance. You know, it's going to have to be probably as a wild card because New Orleans has kind of run away with the division or got a big lead now and still a lot of new football to be played, but. You know, I think they're still in contention when you look around the league and look at, you know, who's in there as far as wild cards and, you know, people that are 2-4 got an excellent chance.
And, Coach, one of the things Bob and I were talking about at the top of the show is all the antics from Vontaze Burfict. He seems to us to be a guy who just doesn't get it, and it really isn't the kind of guy that is he's bad for the game, you know, and for the league. And you know, we hear so much about how the league and the NFL wants to make the game safer for players, yet this guy seems to be, you know, headhunting and going out to injure guys week after week after week. And no matter if you spend him or you fine him, still continues to do the same sort of stuff. What's your thought? Are we off base? You know, what do you think about what you're seeing from Burfict?
Well, you know, I haven't seen a heck of a lot of it, but I certainly think that, you know, the league is trying to make the game safer. It's always going to be a, you know, violent game. And certainly people that are, you know, head hunting or whatever you want to call it, you know, there's no place for it in the league. And that's the thing I don't understand because, you know, you're playing a sport that everybody you're competing with is trying to make a living doing the same thing. So why do you, you know, try to be different? You know, play the game hard, play it fair. You know, you don't have to do things that are dirty.
Bob Moore for Coach.
And on that same topic, Coach, about the NFL and the hits on the quarterback, it seems like they're kind of over-policing it now. Now, you coached a franchise quarterback, Elway, and obviously you were on both sides of it. You know the value of a guy like that. But it seems like now you just hardly can touch the quarterback. It's a very fine line, Coach. I understand where the NFL is coming from, but it must be tough on the minds of opposing coaches these days.
Well, no question. I mean, just it's a tough game. And, you know, talking about the helmet stuff, sometimes that's, you know, a running back, I'm not going to keep my head up if I'm getting ready to be hit, I'm going to, you know, lower my head and try to protect myself. So, you know, I don't know the answer to it, but, you know, it's just very difficult to officiate that. You know, it's very difficult to lay down what is good and what is bad. And, you know, you'd like to do this and you'd like to do that. But, you know, I just think that, you know, the quarterback handles the ball on every single play. But very seldom does he not touch the ball on offense, and that ball attracts the wrong kind of people.
And, Coach, after 20-something years coaching in the league, I mean, you had a 14-win team in Atlanta. You had a 13-win team in Denver. So many double-digit victory teams. Is there one team that stood out of all of them that you thought was the most talented?
Oh, gosh. You know, you really tested my memory. I can't remember yesterday, and you asked me all the way back there. So, gosh, you know, I think, you know, when we overcame the game for our first Super Bowl when I was in Denver, that was always special, you know, to be on the road and you know, win the way we did to get to our first Super Bowl, you know, playing against Cleveland. You know, that was a big win for us and, you know, something I'll always remember. The game against Minnesota when I was coaching here in Atlanta, you know, playing on the road and, you know, such a hostile environment and winning the way we did, you know, in that game to go to the Super Bowl. Those are, you know, some of the things that stick out. But, you know, gosh, through so many years, you know, being with fortunate enough to have a quarterback like John Elway and winning over 100 games with him as a quarterback, you couldn't be more fortunate to have something like that.
And, Coach, you played in the same era with guys like Dick Butkus and Ray Nitschke, Deacon Jones, Alan Page, Joe Green. You know, and I, to Bob's earlier point, you know, the rules were so much different back then. But I'm curious to get your memories. What was it like being a running back trying to play against guys like them?
Well, you mentioned all the bad ones. It wasn't any fun at all. Those guys were tough. You know, the thing about it from a running back standpoint, you know, if your offensive line or your teammates don't block somebody, you know, those guys are tough to handle. And, you know, you mentioned all of the good ones, the Butkus, the Nitschke's, you know, Mean Joe Green, you know, gosh, I mean, the list that you mentioned, you're talking about some of the best that ever played the game. And, you know, that's something that makes it fun to compete against. But, you know, those are some tough guys to go against.
And, Coach, I want to get your thoughts now on the Cowboys. As you look at the, you know, your former team, big win last Sunday over the Jaguars. You know, the NFC East looks like a division that, boy, the champion out of that division could be someone that ends up 9-7. Cowboys got the Redskins this weekend. I want to get your memories of the Cowboy-Redskin rivalry and then your assessment of the NFC East.
Of course, that was, you know, when, you know, both teams became competitive, that was the big rivalry. You know, when Washington became good, we were playing well. You know, those are two big games every year. And that's a big rivalry, and, you know, I think it always will be as long as, teams are, you know, playing well. Certainly that's the case right now.
And, Coach, you know, one more before we let you go. When we talk to so many of the former players here on the show, and it seems like there's always a game, you know, they seem to remember the bad stuff more than they remember the good stuff. I wanted to get, you know, your thoughts from you. Like, is there a game that you enjoy looking back on that still makes you smile? And is there one that still bothers you?
Well, there's a lot of them that bother me, you know, looking back on, you know, certainly I think in 1966 when I had, you know, my best year as a player, that was a great year for me because I haven't been a quarterback in high school and college, and now I was a starting running back for the Cowboys and scored 16 touchdowns, and we, you know, ended up going to a championship game, losing to Green Bay for the right to go to, you know, Super Bowl I. Those are, you know, memories that, you know, I certainly can look back on and, you know, feel good about.
Coach, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with the things that you continue to do, listen to you on radio, and perhaps catching up with you, whether it's on social media or it's online.
Well, you know, I'm on a radio show here the day of the game on 680 The Fan, a local radio station here, and, you know, covering the Falcons and the day after, you know, the game to talk about, you know, that. So it keeps me, you know, busy watching the Falcons and keeping up with them.
Well, Coach, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. It's always such a privilege for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. We hope you'll come back later on in the season and share more of your stories and insights with us.
Well, you bet. Anytime, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, Coach.
Take care, Coach. All the best to you and your family. That is former head coach Dan Reeves. Bob, and you said it best at the top. Boy, it's just such an honor and a privilege to get to spend some time with him.
Yeah, because it's such a wild, fascinating career, Chris. Player, coach, executive, he's done it all. And the guys he played with, the guys he's coached. And, again, people forget how good a player he was and versatile. What an athlete. And we can go on and on and on. And it's always good to talk to him because we never run out of things to talk about.